Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. We are in a content show, and I'm going to try to get through this because I know that there's a lot of people chomping at the bit, want me to get back to, you know, what do we do? How do we do this? How do we start working forward in our local communities and getting people united? I had a very good conversation. Actually, I'm hoping to actually leverage this as an opportunity. And I will get into that when we get into the out of this content and into what do we do, how do we do this, and so forth. So, as you know, you're listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions. This is why I read these documents to you. I editorialize as well, but I want you to know exactly what these men said. If you don't agree with me, give me a call, 425-270-5416. Now, we have a listen line, and I know there's people out there that, you know, do the listen line, but there's also the app. Okay, so I am not one person that has an app, air quotes here, nor do I have any type of mobile computing device that I have an account on. I have yet to make a digital connection to big corp spying networking or the spy networking, because every single app out there, almost every single app, almost everyone spies on you and shares data with Big Brother. And when I say Big Brother, it's not necessarily government. It is the collusion or the collective effort of government and corporations. Look at China. Look at what China is doing and how they're being successful. China is not able to do this all on their own. That's why Google is vested heavily in helping them with their artificial intelligence, with their spying on their people, their, you know, the social credit system, all of this type of stuff. All of the big tech, all of them are over there helping. So, again, if you got a comment, 425-270-5416. Couple things I want to plug. Timber Nation, we're actually making a special order, and it's going to take a couple of months before we get it, but we're really looking forward to this table system that we've requested. And when we have it all done, we will probably have a picture of it. I'm sure the Timber Nation will probably post it, because it's going to be something kind of unique, that's something that they can do. And if you are looking for something that you need, some furnishing, or you need some solid wood, shelving, what have you, reach out to these folks. This is solid, hard wood. In other words, it's not particle board with veneer on it. It's not a plastic paper laminate over particle board or anything like that. This is stuff that is solid wood. It's kind of heavy, it's very hard, and it will last you and many generations as long as you take care of it. I mean, anybody that abuses anything can't expect it to last long. You know, that's why, you know, and I'm just going to share this with you. When I was a kid growing up and a very rowdy kid, I realized how bad we treated stuff. Because when we had parties, we would, you know, a kegger or what have you, we would, you know, take the stereo equipment out into the woods, would set up a generator and, you know, have a party, right? And if I looked at the, you know, what we did to that stuff, I mean, we just trashed it. We trashed our cars. Why? Because we didn't buy that stuff. Now, me, I actually bought the stuff that I had. I bought my drums. I bought my audio equipment. I actually bought stuff. And that's why I would never take it out there, because I know how much work I had to put in to buy that piece of equipment, to buy that. And you know, when you buy something, I learned this lesson at a very young age. When you buy something with your hard-earned money, you value that and you're going to take care of it. The reason why America and our resources are being trashed is because we keep giving crap away to each other. And that even is the indictment on welfare, on the entitlement state. The fact of the matter is, if you really want to create a better person and a better society, teach them the value of a hard day's work. Teach them the value of earning, self-reliance, and, you know, being able to sustain themselves instead of having to put their hand out and say, I need this now. My car doesn't run anymore. I need a new one. I'm telling you. We would change our paradigms. If you're a parent and you have young kids and you're thinking about giving them an allowance, you're thinking about helping them, you know, every step of the way, don't. Make them walk. Make them walk on their own. Teach them to take a stand. I'm telling you, as I look at my kids and I look at some of the kids today that are having the same kind of parents that are making them walk, they're earning their own way and so forth. Those kids are the champions of, you know, industry and everything else. These guys are going to be the leaders just like we see today. Now, we do have the silver spoon, you know, Bill Gates and those people. And yes, Bill Gates was a silver spoon boy. Even though his parents may not have been the elite of the elite, I mean, I believe if you look, I think his mother, father, maybe both were vice presidents at IBM. How do you think he landed that contract with MS-DOS? At least if I remember correctly, when I did the research, that's what we landed on. And those guys weren't necessarily these just a couple of kids in a garage. They sell that to you, but this is not, these are not kids that, you know, where's Bill Gates's wokeness? Where's Bill Gates saying, oh, you know what? I did come from a family privilege. I should give up all of this stuff. Yeah. How about that, Bill? Practice what you preach. Because what is he doing? He's buying up all this stuff. As we look at what all of these progressives are doing, they're all hypocrites. But anyway, we're going to get into how you can actually lead, not be a hypocrite, be a part of the solution. And I don't think anybody that listens to this show is a hypocrite. Really, I don't think so. One other announcement that I need to mention, Red Pill Expo. Please let your state legislators know that in November, Red Pill Expo is coming up and that they have a free ticket. What is their excuse for not going? There we go. Plain and simple. And as a matter of fact, I'm not going to mince words anymore with the state legislators. I'm going to start drawing the line because I've had to play nice with them so that they don't get offended. And I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm basically going to call them out. I don't care how busy they are. They're public servants and their time belongs to the public. I know that we all live in a fast-paced world and I know that we have demands on us, family, and so forth. But we are in critical mass. Critical mass. There is no excuse for a public servant not to get engaged, for not being able to. When I reach out to a public servant, and I'll give you an example, because I've talked about him before, Chad Christensen. And there's some others in South Dakota and in other states I'm going to start calling out. Because I've reached out to him, and they've not taken a minute, not even a minute, to say, is there something here that, you know, I can do? Or what do you have that's so important? I may not be one of their constituents, but I am telling you, as I've sent them these emails and they've ignored it and ignored it and ignored it, I'm just basically going to let everybody know these are the people that we have to replace. We can't afford people not to get, you know, when somebody comes along and they say they've got, you know, an opportunity or a solution or something like that, never gaff them off. Never. You know, when your child comes along and says they have an idea, don't gaff them off. Listen to them. Take the time. If you are a leader, you owe that to those people. You owe it to your constituents to make sure that you have investigated every opportunity, especially when somebody bold like me comes along and says, I have the solution. And it's not mine. It is a Madison Jeffersonian solution. Prove me wrong. And there we go. So we're going to start poking them in the eye. We're going to basically say these people are not looking after your best interest because they're not supporting the Constitution. They're cherry picking. I don't care how well you defend the Second Amendment. Look at all the other crap that's been forced down your constituents' mouths. How is critical race theory coming into your state? How are all of these things coming into your state? State legislators, because you're sleeping on the job and you're not going after the federal government for overreaching all of these things that they're doing. Oh, but at least you got your gun, right? As they kill you with vaccinations, as they destroy your family, as they destroy society, well, at least you got your guns. Or, you know, because... That's one of the only groups that is still kind of standing to say, well, at least we got our guns. Because look at the abortion group. The abortion group hasn't won their argument. The Common Core group hasn't won their argument. Nobody has won their argument over the government encroachments. And as a matter of fact, government encroachments has actually encroached upon our rights to bear arms and our responsibility to bear arms. So don't tell me everybody's succeeding or even they have succeeded. They've all lost some levels of liberty. What are you going to do about it, folks? What are you going to do about it? Now, what we're going to do about it, what I want to help you is help you understand the process of Republic Review. Now, Friday, in our last episode, we went through the argument for Republic Review, laid it all out there. What is the most important? If I ever come to your organization, if we ever do a virtual meeting, and I ask... And whether it's rhetorically or not, I want to hear people shout it out. What is the most important part of the Constitution? It's not the First Amendment. It's not the Bill of Rights. And see, the Bill of Rights is 10 amendments. The most important part of the Constitution is Article 7. I'll get into that, and then we're going to go through the process, as I promised, for Republic Review. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic Review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so why is Article 7 the most important part of the Constitution? Why isn't it our right to bear arms? I mean, people say, hey, the right to bear arms is the one thing that actually protects all of the rest of it. Well, here's a good case in point. How long has the Second Amendment and the NRA and all these folks been around talking about, you know, we got to protect the Constitution, we have to protect? Years, decades, a long time, a long time. And so Why is it that they have sat there saying we've got to protect the Constitution and we're this close to socialism and communism in America, that they've implemented almost every facet of communism in America? But they're protecting the Constitution? How is that? How is that for any of these groups? This is why all of these champions that claim to be protecting the Constitution, if you do not understand what the Constitution is, you can't protect it. Because if you're protecting it by a line, this line here, they can't do this line. They can't do this line. Then you're not really understanding the Constitution. So why is Article 7 so unique and why is it so special? Because it is right to the point. It tells you, because what is the Constitution? When you ask a person, what is the Constitution? Listen to the sideways wandering through the woods answer that they give you. It's simple. The Constitution is a compact, plain and simple. It was written for and by the states. And in Article 7, it identifies it as a compact. Well, hold on. How does it do that? I don't see that. Where does it say it's a compact? Because it required what they've basically stated for this Constitution to obtain force, for it to be a valid governing document. It needed to be ratified. Okay, so what does ratify mean? It means the same thing back then as it does today. Ratification, by definition, is the formal process of accepting a compact, contract, or treaty. That's why when the president goes out and gets a treaty with another country, one of his ambassadors or emissaries, they come back with this treaty in hand. Where does it go? Well, the president looks at it and he hands it over to the Senate, because it has to be ratified by 2/3 of the Senate. That means it's a formal process that they all have to discuss and get into the details of the treaty, and then they ratify it. But it ain't constitutional, and they shouldn't be ratifying it, and actually it should be revoked if they do ratify it, if it is a treaty that is not within the enumerated powers, because they have limitations on their jurisdiction, and that limitation is based upon their powers that have been enumerated to them. Do they have any powers enumerated to them to deal with environmental standards and environmental controls? No. There's nothing to the federal government regarding the environment. There's no amendment granting them that power. Therefore, if they go and enter into a treaty, or even if a state enters into a treaty, both are violating the Constitution. But the important part is that ratification delineates that call for this Constitution to be ratified by 9 states means that, well, that means it is a compact and it needs 9 states to quote unquote buy into it. So what is the other important part of the compact, or I should say of Article 7? Why is it so important? Okay, so first off, it tells you that it's a compact, as I just spelled it out for you. And secondly, it identifies who the parties are to the compact. In there, does it require, because the parties are those people who ratify, those people who were required to formally accept this. Is the President of the United States listed in Article 7 that the President of the United States had to ratify the Constitution? No, not at all. Congress? No. Supreme Court? No. Not even Continental Congress. The states. This means that the states are the parties and the ultimate arbiters in all things, whether it's in the Constitution or not. Because when it comes down to whether they feel like the Constitution is being violated or not. And a good case in point, the Electoral College. The Electoral College is clearly in there, but the Electoral College is being violated. But the problem is, who's violating it? The states. Now, is the federal government going after the states for violating? Absolutely not. Why? Because the parties are in control. But anyway, if you look at Article 7 and you understand by looking at it that, one, the Constitution is a compact, and that the sovereigns are not we the people. The sovereigns are those who ratify, which is the states. We the people are the sovereigns in the states. As Madison points out, we are the sovereigns of the states. And we have to force our states, and this is why we have to start going after state legislators. because it is the state legislators, not this ambiguous thing of the state. It is those who are our representatives in a Republican form of government. That's how we depend upon our representatives. And they're the ones that are supposed to do the job. And we have really crappy Republican representatives because they're not representing the people and they're not overseeing and protecting the Constitution. They're only protecting a line in it. Well, the right to bear arms. Well, what's before that? The security of a nation or the security of a state is, the militia is integral. I'm paraphrasing because I don't know the exact wordings off the top of my head, but it talks about the militia in the Second Amendment first before the right to bear arms is even injected. Why? Because the militia is integral in the enforcement of the Constitution. Oh, well, is the NRA the militia? Are these Second Amendment right groups? Well, some of them may be in the militia, but these Second Amendment groups are typically driven by the firearms dealers and the firearms manufacturers because they're protecting their money. They're not actually trying to protect the Constitution, or they would have stopped all of this stuff. They would have got the militia going. Had we been honoring and monitoring and staying on top of the Constitution, there's lots of reasons why we drifted. And we can get into that later, but what I want to do, because I promised we would get into this process that we call Republic Review. So as I kind of laid it out, if you look at, what we just kind of went through, Republic Review is, if initially we lay it out as an audit, and then it kicks off as a process where the states start coming in and working together. And actually what has to happen is as you get these states working together, the states actually have to start going out to these other states. They have to start sending these, if you want to call them like emissaries, but it's actually not. I mean, you need to send a team of legislators from the states to go into these other states while their legislature is in session and say, why are you not joining us? And actually, try to get them on the record so that the whole world can see, because I'm telling you, when the people of these red states realize that we could wipe away this debt, we can wipe away all of this unconstitutional government, we can wipe away all of the fraud that has been heaped upon us over the past century plus. Well, I believe that the people will want that, because there's no reason why the states can't do their job. It's just that they've been kind of counting on the federal government. Well, I honestly believe that there's enough people in these red states that will actually stand up and say, we've got to do this. I think that empirical data even proves, this is why I'm talking about the entitlement state. Most of these red states are anti-entitlement state. Do you really want the teat of government to supplicate and to nourish you? Anyway, let's just move into the next bullet line, which is two. This is where we left off. Once a single state obtains a majority of support within the two legislative bodies, they must finalize a resolution and pass a single, concise, and succinct final resolution to call for their state to audit the Constitution and other states to join in that audit and the Republic Review process. Now, the Republic Review process is not trademarked, because I believe that we all kind of own that. The intellectual property is captured, it's copyrighted for intellectual property purposes, so nobody can go out and just steal it. And that's what I have done with this concept, is to make sure that Soros or even Glenn Beck doesn't make this a money machine or try to bury it, as we've seen in technology with cars and so forth. So once they pass a necessary once they pass this resolution, they then need to pass a necessary administrative measures to, one, research and identify all federal offices, agencies, bureaus, centers, commissions, councils, administrations, services, and departments. In other words, every entity that is operating and being funded by the general government. They need to identify where every penny is going. It doesn't matter if it's a, if you call it a black hole and all of this money is being spent and going over to this undisclosed thing, then that needs to be identified, what those things are. Or that money gets shut down because it, there's no black hole enumerated in the Constitution. The states do have a right. And so this is where, once we finally get to this, so they can basically identify that black hole is unconstitutional. Now, when they actually send the resolutions to shut down that black hole, the federal government, if they really feel that it needs to be justified to say, we can't really do this, because there's going to be dialogue as the states send directives on some of these things that are ambiguous. Like, what's not ambiguous? The education, Department of Education. So when a directive, we're going to get to the directives, but when a directive goes from the Republic Review Commission or the states that are engaged in Republic Review, which would be 27 or more, when that goes out to the federal government, then, you know, to shut down this black hole, they're going to say, hey, we, you know, some of this is actually constitutional. They say, well, you're going to have to show us. And they say, well, it's classified. And then they'll say, well, we're duly elected people of the representatives of the people. You're going to need to read us in and give us the clearances and access necessary, just like every other public servant has to have that. And this is why, well, we'll be right back after this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I was just going down this rat hole, and I think it's really important. When we talk about the need for people to have access to classified material, it's always based on need to know. If you're a public servant, you need to know. Now, here's the problem. If you're a public servant that has a conflict in any way in supporting the Constitution, in other words, you want to do things with government that is unconstitutional, and you're not willing to go through the process of amending the Constitution, then you have a conflict, and you shouldn't be a public servant, which means that, you know, if you believe you can do anything necessary to, you know, the ends justify the means type of thing, a radical leftist, you should not be a public servant. You should be banned from public service, period, because you are not willing to follow the law of the land. And it's the same thing with Mohammedans. Mohammedans who want to invoke Sharia law and want to invoke democracy and not stay within the confines of our hybrid constitutional republic and the constitutional framework, which is the, which is the supreme law of the land, disqualified. You can't be a public servant, period. Even if you get elected, you have to be removed as far as if you look at Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Oh, by the way, on the 17th of September, we are going to start and read from the preamble to the 27th Amendment. We are going to read the entire Constitution. Have you ever done that? Then you're going to want to listen to every show because it's going to take a few shows to go through this. As we go through each line and kind of lay out what it says and what we're not doing, what parts are being violated. If you color coded the Constitution with yellow, red, and let's say orange, yellow, orange, and red, you would probably have, and green, with, you know, the green being the stuff that we do, yellow being the stuff that we're not really following, orange being the stuff that we're not following, kind of violating, and red being absolute, we're violating this. You would be surprised what little green there is and what little white there is. The rest is going to be all yellow, orange, and red. Why? Why is that? I mean, people have the Constitution, and this is why I point out, anybody that tells me, because I've talked to supposedly constitutionalists that say, I can read that document and understand it based on its face value. And I am telling you that anybody that makes that kind of assertion can be bamboozled and can be lied to, because that's what's been happening for 200 years. John Marshall started lying and basically aggrandizing the Necessary and Proper Clause, the Supremacy Clause, and the Commerce Clause, as well as the General Welfare and Defense Clause. And I am here to tell you that those things were very well dinned during the ratification debates. And so anybody that says that they understand the Constitution without reading the ratification debates, they may have read the Federalist Papers, they may have read other things, but anybody that has never read anything and reads that Constitution can be easily bamboozled, and this is why America is so bamboozled and so constitutionally illiterate. So back to this researching all of these federal agencies, what they have to do is they have to pass necessary measures to do all this research to determine what is being funded. And we started going down this path of even these black holes. If there's money being spent and it's not identified because it's classified, that gets marked as being shut down. Because I'm telling you, they are calling things. I had a phone call from somebody that was talking to somebody in the military. And they said that they believe that what this person is, you know, told them, or this person believes that what they told them was classified. And I said, well, there's very strict, you know, requirements of making something classified. It has to be, you know, protecting sources, protecting means and or resources and technology. And, you know, there's all these very things that were the reasons why we protect that information. And the person, I said, so what is it? And he goes, well, they're talking about, you know, having an administrative function. Basically, it came down to that they're talking about mandating the, and they're calling this classified, they're talking about mandating the vaccination for the troops, that they're going to mandate all the troops and everybody on base to do that. Well, there's nothing about that that's classified. There's no reason why it would be classified. And in the government standards, because you're talking about a person that's actually ran, you know, classified areas and so forth, you can't put alcohol, you can't put personal stuff that you want to hide from people in safes or in a secure area. It's a violation of the purpose of that the purpose of that safe, the purpose of that area is to protect very specific things and only those things. The discussions of those things, the writing, the documents and all that type of stuff, that's why those areas exist. So if there are officers that are using classified channels to communicate that we're going to be doing this, then they're violating those classified channels, those classified areas, those classified mechanisms. And so I kind of informed this of this guy. But then I also stated that in the military is the perfect form of communism. You have no control over your body. Now, you do have the one control you do have is you have conscientious objection. We do have a right to be a conscientious objector. Because for religious purposes, if you get drafted and you do belong to a religion and have lived in that religion that, you know, is a pacifist, you know, type of religion that won't fight for their country and so forth, we've acknowledged what those, and the reason why we've gotten down this path is because everybody started using it in the Korean War and the Vietnam War. Remember Clinger and MASH and all of that. There were lots of people that tried to exploit those things. And I'm sorry for going down these rat holes. I'm not getting through this, but I think this is all important ancillary information. So back to the military, you have a right to conscientiously object to this vaccination. It's one thing if it's a scientific vaccination that has been developed scientifically and everything else, but it is not. It is something that actually, and they've actually disclosed the fact that this actually writes and changes your DNA. And if you have a conscientious objection to injecting or allowing something like that into your body, you have a right to consciously object and walk away from the military. Just remember what I just said. Your career is over. When you become a conscientious objector, they can actually throw you out. Now, they can't throw you out for bad conduct because you have a right of conscientious objection. You can't be forced to be in the militia pulling triggers. You can be forced to be in the militia processing papers. You can be forced into service, but when it comes down to if they say you must have this or you can't serve, then you're gone. You say, okay, well, if I want to serve, but I refuse to allow that into my body, that's where they basically create this critical mass of, okay, we've got to actually discharge you. And it's administrative discharge is what it is. It can't be for bad conduct or anything, you know, for punitive purposes. They cannot legally do that. There are points in time where they go, okay, it's kind of like a divorce. But anyway, I just kind of wanted to go down this path because as we started talking about classified and this, then this information came along and I said, okay, well, so now you understand. And as I've talked to people, I have found out that the military has tried to mandate these things on civilians who aren't under that same contract of enlistment as an officer or an enlisted. And that right there is another misnomer. It really kills me that we actually have a separation between officers and enlisted in the military. We have executives and we have management and all these other things in business, but they're not separated. As a matter of fact, you can just go right up the career path from a technical guy or a guy doing one thing all the way up to becoming the president of the company. There's no barriers. You don't have to go to officer candidate school or anything like that. And the military, I honestly believe that the education and the reason why we had the separation between enlisted and officers was an archaic purpose. And I'm going down another rat hole. I get it. Forgive me. But I believe that we're wasting way too much. Because if you look at the military, this was one of my theses for the Staff Academy in the Marine Corps. I basically said we need to disband, you know, we need to basically make it a single, you know, service or personnel service, make everybody officers, and you just have your different duties and your different ranks. And you can go up administrative, you can go up leadership. I mean, we have the mechanism to allow all of that type of stuff. But why every branch of service that has officers and enlisted, because they all do, they have two separate personnel groups. You know, people that keep the records and people that do the job assignments and everything else. So it's duplicative, if you understand. When you have duplication like that, it's a waste. It's an absolute waste. Why? And it's the same thing with duplications between services. The other part that my recommendation was that we should have the U.S. Armed Forces and disband the concept of having all of the, you know, Army, Navy, Marine Corps, and so forth. Back in those days, it was very unique and different, and the only service that actually should be operating would be the U.S. Navy, or it would be the U.S. Armed Forces, the USAF, and that would be the Navy and the Marine Corps, because they're the only constitutionally operative organizations that are authorized within the Constitution to exist. The Army has to be funded, and it can only operate for 2 years, and it has to have, anyway, we'll get into that actually when we do the Constitution. I'll get back to Section 2 or Paragraph 2 of the process right after these two promos. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as we kind of go through this, I'm actually kind of cleaning this up. Each time I actually pick this up, the process, I kind of clean it up so it makes a little more sense. And so we're in paragraph two, paragraph two, and it's past the necessary administrative measures. And fundamentally, what the necessary administrative measures are to initiate the audit. And there's the audit of the actual powers and the spendings, basically looking at where all the money is going and to every entity that is operating within the government. So there's this research, as I just kind of already done this twice now. You research all of these things, even black holes. You identify every little pocket where money is going, and you say, okay, that right there is not within the enumerated powers, and it's marked to be shut down. And you're not shutting it down. You're not even telling the federal government you got to shut it down now. You got to wait till we have the 27 states. We have to have a union or enough of the union to actually take a stand. So the next thing is, because we do not just do this, we also audit. So here's another administrative measure that the state also has to audit all rulings by the Supreme Court to verify jurisdiction and to verify the court did not violate, one, the separations of powers between, you know, the executive and between the judiciary, as well as the enumerated jurisdictions and the enforcements. So what we want to do is just make sure that the federal government is not legislating from the bench. And like homosexual marriage, like abortion, those types of things. The question is marriage in the Constitution? Is it an enumerated power? No. Well, so that means Congress can't even make a law regarding it. Even if the federal court says, hey, we believe that the privacy is, you know, something within the Constitution, and we believe that a person has a right to have services done to them, you know, in these abortion clinics if they want to. Well, okay, hold on here. Now, what they're basically doing is they're, you know, kind of protecting this privacy and this right and so forth. However, if a state has a law that says you can't kill a baby, at that point in time, it's done. The federal government cannot say a person has a right to kill a baby in their state, because the state legislators, because there's nothing within the jurisdiction of the federal government that says that a state can't protect life. There's nothing in there that says they can allow life to be destroyed. There's nothing in there in the Constitution that delegates the power over life, health care, you know, vaccinations, or even managing influenza viruses with the CDC. All of these things are unconstitutional. You have to start actually shifting your paradigm and looking at the Treasury, State Department, and the Department of Defense, or I should say the War Department, as the only constitutional actions that the federal government really should be doing, along with taxation, and very limited on the taxation, other than the 16th and 17th Amendments, right? Or the 16th Amendment. Anyway, so they're auditing all where all the money is going and determining whether every single one of those things is considered constitutional or within the enumerated powers. So the next thing is that they're looking at every ruling by the court. The next thing is that they're looking at every executive order. Did the president overstep his bounds and legislate? If he did, the states need to say, you can't. This is something the court should have done. And since the court hasn't done it, the states have the power in this process to say, you know what, presidents, all these presidents, FDR, all of these guys, you know, stacking the courts, all of that. They can't do it. Congress is the only entity that can do this. This is why, are you really worried about stacking the courts? Because you need both houses of Congress to allow that to happen. And there's not enough in the Senate to allow it to happen. That's why they can't stack the court. So if the president goes down the path of using an executive order, then he's absolutely violating the separations of powers. Anyway. It's the same thing with initiating an audit for the treaty. So now we're auditing. So a state is getting buried with all of this stuff. This is why they really want to appeal to other states to kind of help them and say, you know, this is where we kind of left off. This is what we've done. And so, you know, instead of duplicating the effort, because duplication is a waste. I just pointed at the military and poked them in the eye about all the duplication and crap that they're doing. Government gets away with wasting money all the time. They don't have to be efficient. All they have to do is come to you, wring your neck, and take money. Then they can do whatever they need to do and be as inefficient at it as they want. And as a matter of fact, people that work in government contracts, one of the old sayings is, we're not getting paid to be efficient. We're just getting paid to execute the contract. Anywho. So the states are now auditing the treaties to identify whether those treaties were within the enumerated powers. One of the things we're going to find out is the treaties that created these Indian reservations was a violation. And so we'll get into how we fix that. I'll just tell you real quick. My recommendation to every state, if you have an Indian reservation in your state, make that land theirs and make it just like every other land. If it's residential, it's residential. If it's commercial, it's commercial. And then you tax it just and you start putting it out there to say, okay, but what you want to do is you want to make sure that the tribes fairly and equitably do that. And I think the state should offer, you know, not a conservator, but somebody to come in and make sure that the, you know, the family of, you know, of power or those groups don't necessarily take advantage of everybody else, that everybody has a fair opportunity at what the tribe owns and divest it, either by, you know, giving them shares or what have you. But bottom line, this federal government has created and allowed certain things to, you know, exist and transpire to where people have, it's just like giving companies advantages. Amazon had an advantage with the federal government for years and years and years. How long did they operate without any profit? A long time. And when they were continuing to operate without any profit, the people are going, why are they allowing them to exist? It's because they were giving information to the CIA or to the intelligence community. Everything you looked at, everything you bought, that was all being reported, you by name, and all of those types of things. And to me, I think that that was a huge violation of your rights. And as a matter of fact, this is where we get into, and we'll get into this later on in the week when we start talking about the Bill of Rights for 2022 and the campaign strategy and execution of what people need to start campaigning on. We'll get into that. And the last thing, so they should basically identify all of the treaties that need to be wiped out. The last thing is they also need to initiate an audit to verify that every amendment that the state had ratified while it has been a state was constitutionally done in full fidelity to the U.S. Constitution and the state's constitution. Why is this important to audit? Because there has been evidence that has pointed to the 16th and 17th Amendments as being unconstitutionally ratified by a few states, Oregon being one of them. You know, when you start looking at who was performing the shenanigans back in the early 1900s, like Oregon, are you surprised today to see Oregon so off-kiltered and so radically wrong and unconstitutional like Kate Brown? Kate Brown ought to be removed. I would love to see people starting to demand criminal charges, you know, that these people be tried for treason. And it's not that I want to see life wasted, but we have to start using the full extent of the law. And the day has to come when we actually see our public servants who have committed these egregious acts of treason. Clinton's, Obama's, Bush's, hanged, whatever the proper context is. I think it's hanged, it's not hung. Hanged. They should be all taken to the gallows if they are found guilty. If they are found guilty of the crime of treason, they must be hanged. Because we had placed the greatest fidelity in our presidents and these public servants. It's one thing for a non-public servant to maybe receive a little compassion and mercy. And it's a case-by-case basis with even some public servants. But when we know what some of these men had done, that they would have done it again and again and again, because they did it again and again and again, especially Clinton and Obama. And the Bushes. Anyway, these top corrupt leaders. I don't think Trump knew what he was doing. He's violated the Constitution. I tell people that all the time. That's just because, well, that's what we've been doing. And that's the problem when you have an unconstitutional. This is why I think that we should have first and finals and help educate people that when they start violating the Constitution. But going back to this whole process of what has to happen, because, you know, the Secret Service might come after me to say, I'm calling for, you know, the sitting president, Biden, to be charged for treason and hanged. Well, that's the constitutional process. If he's found guilty, that's what should happen, right? That's what the law states. Now, we can pardon them, but I honestly believe that those who don't deserve pardoning, if we allow them to stick around, it just sends the wrong message. And, you know, you're talking to somebody. It's not that I'm perfect at all. You know, I recognize my shortcomings on a daily basis. And I struggle to, you know, be forgiven for the little things and the big things in my life. But the fact is that we need to start holding accountability. And this is why we have to audit all of the amendments. We have to audit all of the executive orders, judicial rulings, everything. We've got to audit, no stone unturned. We'll finish this up when we come back in our next episode. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.